Good afternoon. So I was just talking to the Lord up there and going, oh yeah, Lord, I need to zero in on this group again. And the Lord said, I've never been more excited than I am right now about this particular group. That's just the way he is. Isn't that cool? So back and read all those verses, and we're going to keep doing that because I want to keep the whole story kind of in front of you. That we're going to pick out one little thing today. We mentioned it yesterday, but didn't hang out there. And I talked about it a little bit last week at the conference, but I really felt a need to communicate it again today. Because redemption, our freedom, our wholeness, is very, very, very practical. And so when it says that Jesus was tempted in every way, like unto us, therefore he sympathizes with our weakness, this one who's our great high priest, that doesn't just mean that he's like up there praying for us, which he prays for us, but he's the mediator. And so he mediates us to God, mediates God to us, and does that in light of being very aware of our humanity and our weakness. And so when we talk about this issue of our redemption, this issue of Christ-likeness, this issue of walking in wholeness, walking out of our brokenness into his wholeness and his freedom, it's really important that you don't disclude whatever it is you're facing or dealing with as if that's different. You know, like the scripture says, in our weakness, the strength is made perfect. And yet sometimes over the years, I'd have somebody go, but you don't understand what I'm going through. I said, well, I haven't been tempted in every way like Jesus was, but he totally understands what you're going through. And so again, think in terms of the incarnation. I think there are things in the scriptures that are so cool. And so for me, it's been a little bit limiting because still restricted how much I can sit up with my feet dangling, which is the normal position if you're going to hang out with the Lord and be in your Bible and all that kind of stuff. But he's just been so faithful to communicate, minister to me. Hopefully after the end of this week, that'll get better in terms of what I can do and can't do. But listen to what it says in verse 1. When the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now, it says, and when the Lord knew, well, didn't the Lord always know? I mean, right? Sovereign God always knows, right? But the idea here is that we understand that Jesus was not a superhuman. He was human, filled with the Holy Spirit. And so at some point, Jesus heard the news. It got back to him. Now, there were times when the Father just gave him information, right? Because he did those things he saw the Father doing, said those things he heard the Father saying. But there were times when Jesus discovered things just like we do. There are times when Jesus gives me information, insight, Holy Spirit, but often I'm just doing life as life comes. And so Jesus, when he heard that they knew that they were baptizing more than John the Baptist, he knew that he would be the big story. And it wasn't time for that big story. He wasn't going to do that. It wasn't whatever. That he knew was not God's will for him. But again, think of his humanity. Jesus is reacting to what he discovered. So he's not acting out of his deity. He's being very human. He's obeying the Father, but he's doing that like you and I would as a human. So Jesus clothed himself. The redemption started with God taking the deep dive into the broken yuck of your humanity and mine and began the process of turning us back to God and redeeming us at every practical moment that we experience our humanity. So when Jesus said he was tempted in every way likened to us, that issue that you're being tempted with, the fear, the anger, the loneliness, the weariness, all those kind of things, Jesus was tempted with all that stuff. And it was real temptation. What makes temptation is very tempting. So when people say, well, Jesus couldn't sin, well, I can't get on theology. I mean, Jesus didn't sin, but he was tempted. It was tempting. There was a choice there. And Jesus didn't. And in that process, then he's able to say to us, because this is also lived out in the Gospel of John, in John 16, say, in this world, you're going to have a lot of trials, a lot of tests, a lot of temptation, a lot of tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome that world. And so the one who lives in us isn't just a far-off God who's speaking to us, enabling us. He's a God who lived out your humanity and lived out my humanity. And he was tempted in every way and was the overcomer every time. So this is one of my favorite little parts of this scripture. It says that when he came to the city of Samaria, verse 5, called Sychar or Shechem, which is the same place, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, was sitting there by the well. It was about noon, and there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." Now, when it says there came a woman, the grammatical language was he could see this woman coming from a distance towards him. He was wearied from the journey. That's another example of his humanity. To me, that just blows my doors off, that God would love me so much that to redeem my humanity, he became human and experienced as God, who's never known a moment of being weary in his life, what it was like to be physically and emotionally weary. I mean, he'd been dealing with a lot of things, right? I didn't say he was stressed, but there were stressors out there, and he was weary. And it was like 115 degrees. And he sends his disciples off to go get some food. Now, we don't know why he did all that. Like, did he send them off? I mean, there are two cool ways of thinking about it. He sent them off because he knew they were going to have a hard time with what was about to happen. Because Jewish men didn't talk to women, period, in public. Jewish rabbis specifically didn't. It was a super scandal, and he was a rabbi in a sense. He was considered rabbi, rabboni, teacher. And Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. And therefore, a Jewish man would never, rabbis speak not just to a Jewish woman, but to a Samaritan woman. That would be especially scandalous. And for this Samaritan woman of all, this immoral, bankrupt, failure in this ultra-religious community of Samaria, that's totally a no-no. But the language, I love the way the King James says, it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. So was it because Jesus knew something was going to happen but didn't know everything? Because it kind of gives us insight in the verse first. Maybe that's God's way of telling us he didn't always know everything until things were happening. He didn't make the decision to leave Judea because the father said, hey, you're getting real popular and you're going to be more popular, and so all the reporters are going to come to you. He found out. It's like you and I find out things most of the time. Somebody told him. His own disciples told him because the Jew had told them, right? A Pharisee had told them. And so here's Jesus. Maybe he knew something. He knew he was supposed to go to Samaria, obviously. He must needs. But did he already anticipate the whole woman coming thing? I don't know. Maybe he just sensed the Lord say, tell the guys to go get some food. You know, maybe that's just it. You know, these little moments in our life, we just walk in the Spirit. But I love the fact that Jesus is weary. He's clothed himself in your weariness, the temptation to be fearful, your loneliness, your exhaustion, your anxiety, whatever it might be. And there he is, and there's this woman coming. And if that had been one of us, we might have said, oh, no, I'm really tired. But that wasn't his response at all. Now, whether this was a surprise to him or knowing his relationship with the Father by the Spirit as a man, he was probably going, Lord's doing something. This is for a purpose. It's not just about coming here. Oh, here's the purpose. And of course, then he had insight into her life. So when did he get that insight? I don't know. But here's what I do know. That Jesus clothed in your humanity didn't use his weariness as an excuse to complain, to gripe, to fuss. Him being interrupted as an excuse to be in a bad mood. You know that? Jesus was never controlled by moodiness. He's super consistent. He wants to be super consistent in you. There really shouldn't be this. Jesus lives life on the highest plane. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. You don't have to keep doing those little nosedives down, you know. Jesus is, why did he do this? Because one of the things he wanted us to see is that he identifies totally with our weakness. But don't let the enemy deceive you to use weakness as a gift and an excuse to get weird, to get confused, to complain, to gripe, to feel sorry for yourself. Jesus understands what it feels like to be isolated. He did it victoriously. He knows what it's like to be weary and tired. He did it victoriously. He knows what it's like to be interrupted, inconvenienced. That's a pretty inconvenience. And he did it without getting in a bad mood. He's turning our humanity back to God. And he's given us an example of a new creation. This is what it looks like. See, your commitment, my commitment to want to be free has to get down to that stuff, to our attitudes in the most practical, nitty-gritty, blood and gut stuff. I mean, you have to be sitting in the room and somebody's dissing you, somebody's disrespecting you, somebody's ignoring you, somebody's hurting you, to have to step back and go, I don't have to have that person's love to complete me. I'm complete in Christ. Jesus is like, you're complete in me, Chuck. So you're free to just love them without feeling sorry for yourself that you're not getting from them what you think you need from them. That's the real deal. If it isn't, it's just, what are we doing here? Victorious Christianity isn't lived out when every one of your circumstances work out the way you'd like for them to. Jesus is the way. He's victorious in the journey. Not when everything finally gets settled and straightened out. That's what this story's about. That's how much God loves us, that he came and clothed himself in our weariness, our loneliness, our whatever, and showed us that clothed in our humanity, the one who overcame, has already proven to us, we've been here, Chuck, we've done this before already, victoriously. This is proof of that. I'm so grateful that I don't have to wait for things to turn out the way I want them to for me to walk in freedom and wholeness. That's the goal. Jesus is the goal. Christ-likeness is the goal. The way is the goal. This way of life. Amen? Amen? And in between all the other stuff, your feelings aren't your governor. The Holy Spirit is. Jesus didn't feel very good. He was tired and he was weary. But like that thing when I was in that bus in Africa, going to Rukungiri, I said, Lord, I'm really tired, Lord. I don't know if I can do this. And he goes, I'm not tired. Like so perky. I'm like going, at least you could not be so perky. That's so, I'm not tired. And I'm going, oh yeah. So why don't you join me, Chuck? Oh yeah, where you are. This is your deal, not mine. Where you, and my weariness therefore is your problem, not mine. Because where you are, I am also. Thanks, Lord. And the moment I did, supernaturally, grace kicked in. And I experienced his lack of being weary, tired. He sent them away for food. When they came back with the food, he wasn't hungry because he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. If you'll just walk in the way, the emotions will come in line with his. The weariness, the loneliness, the whatever it might be, it'll become his. And you won't feel that anymore because Jesus wouldn't walk around feeling sorry for himself because he's lonely or because he's weary or because things didn't work out the way he thought they would or hasn't worked out yet or doesn't even know what's happening. He didn't know what's happening. Isn't that cool? He didn't know to leave Judea, and he found out, just like you and I find out. Wow, you mean he clothed himself with our not knowing what's going on sometimes until we know what's going on? Yep, and he did it without sinning. Amazing story to me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.